Welcome back to Live Action Remake, your source for movie, TV news, reviews, and recommendations. My name is Diego Roman, and before we get started, I just wanted to say thank you to everyone who has gone out of their way to give me any feedback, told me that they listened to the show, or told me that they listened to any of my recommendations. That totally means a lot to me. I'm very thankful for anyone who has come out of their way to tell me that they've watched the show, and to anyone who has just listened to the show. You guys are the best. Thank you so much for coming on this journey with me. I know I say this a lot, but I'm just really excited to be doing this, actually. And I know episode 2 had a lot better quality than episode 1 as far as the volume and the voice and the scratching. So thank you for being patient with me as I slowly get better at the tech side. I'm still trying to do my best on that and trying to improve on delivering you guys cool and interesting movie and TV news. If you can, I'd appreciate it if you check out our Facebook page as well, Live Action Remake Podcast, or our Instagram page at Live Action Remake for little updates. I try to do a little bit behind the scenes or throw a little bit of movie news or things that I'm going to talk about on this episode on our Instagram page, and throw a few things on our Facebook page as well. If you can and are willing to, I'd appreciate it as well if you could make a small donation on our Anchor page. All our episodes are always going to be free, so if not, I totally understand. I'm just trying to get the ball rolling, maybe. But I'm more than happy with you all just listening. That means the world to me that you just went out of your way to listen, so thank you. And now that's all out of the way, let's just get on to the show, shall we? The first thing I wanted to talk about today are the trailers that have been coming out throughout the week. There has been quite a few. There are 4 that I want to talk about, 3 of which I actually want to see the movie. 1 I just want to talk about because of how ridiculous it looks. But let's get started with the 3 that I'm actually interested in, starting with Come Away. Now, Come Away is the story of Alice in Wonderland and Peter Pan again, but it depicts the title characters as actual siblings trying to help their parents overcome the death of their eldest son. The film stars Angelina Jolie and David Oyelowo as the parents of Alice and Peter. And while I'm not a huge fan of seeing another live-action remake of these franchises, the idea that they are not only related, but both come from tragedy and find a way to escape into a different world, and that is how they become these beloved characters, is very interesting to me. I'm a huge fan of David Oyelowo. If you don't know him, he was in the movie Selma as Martin Luther King Jr. And Angelina Jolie is always a phenomenal actress. I thought the trailer was worth bringing up. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It's not just going to be another one where you see him as Peter Pan, or you see him as Alice in Wonderland, or see her as Alice in Wonderland, but you actually get to break down how they become those characters. So that was interesting enough to me to actually talk about. Like I said, Alice in Wonderland and Peter Pan were never something or stories that never really interested me growing up, but they do interest a lot of people, and a lot of people that I'm very close to. So seeing this will be interesting enough for me. I probably will see it when it comes out. It's supposed to come out November 13th, 2020. Hopefully, it won't just be in theaters. It will also be on demand. So let me know if you guys check that one out. It's called Come Away again, and check out the trailer online right now. The second movie I want to talk about is called Promising Young Woman, and it's starring Carey Mulligan. Now, this one is very different from the movie I was just talking about, as this is a black comedy drama thriller that debuted in January at Sundance and is now being released December 25th in 2020. It is about a woman who goes on the hunt for sexual predators and abusers, exposing them and possibly killing them. It's got a 91% on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't normally trust Rotten Tomatoes, but that's a pretty high score, and the trailer looks absolutely phenomenal. Bo Burnham is also in it. He is one of my favorite comedians, so I'm pretty excited about that. And Carey Mulligan looks like she is going to kick a lot of ass, so I'm pretty excited about that. The final trailer I wanted to talk about is called 9 Days. It stars Winston Duke, Zazie Beetz, Bill Skarsgård, Benedict Wong, and Tony Hale. Winston Duke plays Will, who is having interviews with different souls, offering them a chance to be born onto Earth. This movie looks very artsy. It's science fiction, but I feel like it's going to tackle a lot of interesting ideas about what it means to be alive and what it means to be human. These are some of my favorite actors and actresses. Winston Duke, you may know from Us. Zazie Beetz, you may know from Atlanta. Benedict Wong from Avengers Infinity War, he is Wong. These characters all seem pretty interesting, and it's a weird cast, but an exciting one. I can't wait to see it. It's supposedly set to come out January 22nd, 2021. I hope it stays there because I really want to see this movie. If not, I hope to see it at home. And those are the first three that I really wanted to talk about. This next one that I'm going to talk about is not a movie that I am ever going to see, or I hope no one sees, to be honest, because it is starring Mel Gibson. Now, if you don't know the history of Mel Gibson and his racist tendencies, anti-Semitic tendencies, well, I just ruined him for you, and I'm sorry, but you had to find out eventually. But the trailer for this movie is pretty weird, and I can't believe that it's actually a real thing. It is called Fat Man, and I'm just going to read you the synopsis right now. To save his declining business, Kris Kringle, also known as Santa Claus, is forced into a partnership with the U.S. military. And making matters worse, Chris gets locked into a deadly battle of wits against a highly skilled assassin hired by a precocious 12-year-old after receiving a lump of coal in his stocking. Now, the idea of Santa joining the military is already a ridiculous enough concept to start a movie on. But then they add in a skilled assassin hired by a child, and this movie just looks insane. It kind of has a whole Rambo, like a one last mission kind of feel to it, but it's Santa Claus? The fact that this movie is coming out in 2020 kind of makes sense to me. This would be what Christmas in 2020 is like, right? I highly recommend you check out the trailer and let me know what you think. I don't recommend you watch the movie because Mel Gibson. But let me know what you guys think. Let me know if you see any of these trailers and if you're excited for any of these movies. Again, check out the other three, Come Away, Promising Young Woman, and 9 Days. Don't check out Fat Man when it comes out. And yeah, those are all the trailers that I have for this week. So let me know what you think. Next, we are going on to our movie news, starting with the big headline of the week. Doctor Strange has been confirmed for Spider-Man 3. Now, if you didn't already know, last week we've covered that Electro was confirmed for Spider-Man 3, which was odd because he was returning from the Amazing Spider-Man franchise, but now we have confirmed that Benedict Cumberbatch will return for Spider-Man 3. Now, this leads to a lot of questions as to what this movie is actually going to be, and the big thing that it's pointing to is the multiverse. Electro comes from a different universe, the Amazing Spider-Man universe, and Doctor Strange is set to have a sequel called Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, meaning these movies could tie together, meaning Doctor Strange is our link to the multiverse of the different Marvel movies. What could that mean in general, though? Well, this also comes up with rumors that Venom, Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield are all rumored to appear in this film as well. Now, that could mean Tom Hardy's Venom can come from the multiverse, Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man could come from the multiverse, and Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man could come from the multiverse. Meaning this could be a very big Spider-Man full movie, which would be incredible, especially off the heels of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. What does this also mean? Well, if we are opening up the multiverse to different Spider-Men, could that mean that we open up the Spider-Verse, the multiverse, for characters like Blade or characters like the X-Men or the Fantastic Four? I hope not the Fantastic Four, but these are all now possibilities if that's what we're doing. But again, Doctor Strange confirmation doesn't mean we are necessarily going into the multiverse. It just means that he will be a part of the Spider-Man 3 film. This news does excite me. Benedict Cumberbatch is one of the best parts of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He really came into his own in Infinity War and Endgame. I think his movie was pretty okay, but when he's with other people is really where he shines the brightest. So I'm very excited for Spider-Man 3. Let me know what you guys think. Do you think that they're leading into the multiverse? Maybe multiple Spider-Man in this movie? Or is Doctor Strange just going to play a mentorship role to Peter in the way Tony and Nick Fury did? Let me know what you guys think. Next, we have The Addams Family is coming out with a sequel next year, Halloween 2021. I'm not a huge fan of The Addams Family. I never got into any of them, but I know a lot of people are, so I thought I would bring that up. 2021 is another animated sequel to the 2019 film, so let me know what you guys think about that. This news is exciting. Soul is coming to Disney Plus on December 25th as a Disney Plus exclusive, and it will be released everywhere else in theaters at a later date. This is just exclusive to North America or wherever it is distributed on Disney Plus. This movie looks so good. I was so sad when it got pushed back. It was one of the first things that got pushed back when this coronavirus hit. If you have not seen a trailer for it, it kind of gives me Inside Out vibes. If I had to compare it to any other Pixar movie, it's starring Jamie Foxx and Tina Fey. I'm sad I'm not going to be able to see this in theaters, but I am sure that I will cry my eyes out at home just the same. So Soul comes out to Disney Plus December 25th. Patty Jenkins and Gal Gadot are teaming up again for a Cleopatra biopic, starring Gal Gadot as Cleopatra and Patty Jenkins will direct. If you did not know, this duo has worked together for both of the Wonder Woman films, and I'm a great big fan of them two working together. I don't know much about Cleopatra. I know she has something to do with Egypt. I'm not a history buff, I'm sorry. But I'm excited for this duo, and I'm excited for another movie, so let's go. And finally, in big news, Mad Max spinoff Furiosa has casted Furiosa. Anya Taylor-Joy will take up the lead role. She is filling in for Charlize Theron as a younger version of Furiosa. And they've also casted Chris Hemsworth and Yahya Abdul-Mateen II. Now, these are three big casts. I have never seen the Mad Max movies, nor have I seen the newest one. But Anya Taylor-Joy is one of my favorite actresses. She killed it for me in Split and Glass. And, of course, you know, I'm a big Chris Hemsworth guy, being a Marvel fan. So let me know what you guys think about that casting. Let me know what you guys think about Doctor Strange, Addams Family, Soul. And let me know if I missed anything. Now on to TV news. The original Warner Brothers and sister are back. Yakko, Wacko, and Dot are returning in Animaniacs on Hulu November 20th. A trailer dropped this week from New York Comic Con spoofing Jurassic Park. It looks like a lot of fun. The main voice actors and actress are all back. Pinky and the Brain are confirmed to be back in the series. It looks like a lot of fun. It is something that I didn't necessarily grow up with, but my mom was able to show me a little bit when I was younger, so I do remember it fondly, and I'm excited to see this back on TV. Next in New York Comic Con news, Invincible, the animated series, is coming to Amazon Prime in 2021. This is about the son of Omni-Man, the world's greatest superhero, struggling to control his own powers and develop his own abilities as Invincible. This cast stars Steven Yeun, J.K. Simmons, Seth Rogen, Mark Hamill, Gillian Jacobs, Zazie Beetz, and Zachary Quinto. Now, I have never read this comic book, but the animation looks very good, and the cast looks even better, so I'm pretty excited for it. It seems like a much darker show, and it seems like something that Amazon is really pushing for as far as superhero content goes. To go a little bit darker, you kind of see that with The Boys, so Invincible seems like it's going to fill that tone as well. So check out that trailer online today. MODOK is coming to Hulu in a stop-motion animated sitcom about the Marvel supervillain. It is starring Patton Oswalt, Melissa Fumero, and Ben Schwartz. It sees MODOK going through a midlife crisis while also dealing with his family troubles and his wife. This looks pretty ridiculous, but in a good way, not in like a fat man kind of way. Patton Oswalt is not only writing but starring as MODOK. I have high hopes for it. It kind of reminds me of Robot Chicken. But hopefully it's a little bit better than that. This was actually supposed to be the start of a Hulu universe of Offenders, a couple of weird Marvel characters teaming up together, but most of those shows were actually canceled, besides MODOK and another show called Hit Monkey. So let's see if that eventually happens. But if not, I'm excited to see Patton Oswalt again in something. I'm a big fan of his. So MODOK on Hulu, coming early 2021. A Green Lantern series has been greenlit at HBO Max. This show will revolve around four different Green Lanterns: Guy Gardner, Jessica Cruz, Simon Bass, and Alan Scott. Fan favorite characters such as Sinestro and Kilowog will also be on the show, and is supposedly supposed to span decades and galaxies. This show is exciting for several reasons. First being, we haven't had a live-action Green Lantern that is good under any circumstances, ever. It was actually teased that John Diggle would be Green Lantern on Arrow, but it never actually happened. And of course, the live-action movie was kind of trash. If you like the movie, let me know. We can argue about it, just like we did Topher Grace. But also, this show is going to have several different groups represented. Jessica Cruz is a Mexican-American Honduran Green Lantern. Simon Bass is a Lebanese Arab American and Muslim Green Lantern. And Alan Scott is the very first gay Green Lantern. Now, if you still need a straight white man, don't worry. Guy Gardner is also on the show. But just the fact that DC is going all in on representation is very exciting and progressive. I have high hopes for this show. The only thing that makes me very sad is that there is no word about Jon Stewart. And Jon Stewart is my personal favorite Green Lantern. Maybe they're saving him for a movie, but I doubt it. They were talking about doing a Green Lantern movie for the longest time. It was supposed to be called Green Lantern Corps, but DC didn't follow through on a lot of the movies that they were talking about, so it never ended up happening. I think this is the middle ground for making the series. I hope he eventually shows up. If not, but you know, I'll take what I can get with DC and my Green Lantern. So be on the lookout for that. It's very exciting. Finally, in TV news, Lily Collins and Lou Malnati's apparently have some beef. On her new show, Emily in Paris, a joke was made calling it Lou Malnati's pizza a quiche made of cement. Lou Malnati's responded to this joke on Instagram. When Netflix's Emily in Paris writers chose to take a shot at Chicagoans and our pizza to try to get a laugh, it felt heartless and not humorous in the midst of COVID-19. Lou Malnati's later came back on social media on Twitter to say, we've simmered down some, and we're thinking this was all a big misunderstanding, right, at Lily Collins? We know that you were just delivering your lines. Let's call it truce over some deep dish pizza. Tell us where to send it. Now, as a true Chicagoan, I have to say that a quiche made of cement is pretty generous, because Lou Malnati's pizza is kind of garbage. No, I'm just kidding. It's fine. It's fine. I'm more of a Giordano's guy myself. Let me know what you guys think. Are you more of a Giordano's guy or gal? Lou Malnati's at me at Live Action Remake. I'd love to have the kind of publicity that Lily Collins has got. Make our show big. I stand with Lily Collins. I don't know. Just having fun here. But yeah, let me know what you guys think of all that TV news. And now we are moving on to book news for the first time ever. I usually don't talk about books because, to be honest, I am not a current reader. I don't read as much as I should. But this news was pretty exciting. It was also from New York Comic Con, and it is the first plot details from Ready Player 2. It takes place after Ready Player 1, just a few days, and Wade finds a new riddle from Halliday for another Easter egg and mysterious prize. A new rival is introduced who will kill millions to get what he wants. So basically, it's Ready Player 1 in a nutshell. It doesn't really reveal a lot. It's very vague, but it's enough to get someone excited about Ready Player 2. Let me know if you guys are big fans of Ready Player 1 or Ready Player 2. I'm a fan of the movie. It was introduced to me by my good friend Mig. Let me know if you guys have seen it, and let me know what you guys think of Ready Player 2, and if you're excited. Next on the show, I wanted to do something a little bit different and tell you guys what I'm actually currently watching. This is going to be a little bit different than a recommendation, because I can't fully recommend anything until I see it in full. But just to let you guys know what I'm watching currently and what I'm getting from my media diet right now. And I started watching this show on Netflix because of how well it did at the Emmys. It swept the Emmys, basically, as far as the comedy goes. I'm not a huge sitcom person, but I'm always here for a sitcom that doesn't just go with the tropes, that kind of switches it up a little bit. And then this one is called Schitt's Creek, S-C-H-I-T-T-S, just to let you guys know. And if you're a fan of Arrested Development, another show from Netflix, this show is for you. It's a very similar story. A very rich family is all of a sudden down on their luck, so they must move to a town called Schitt's Creek in the middle of nowhere. It's written by Eugene and Dan Levy, a father-son duo who also star as father and son on the show. Along with them are Catherine O'Hara and Annie Murphy, who make up the whole family, mother and daughter. Now, the main four actors and actresses, those four are what make the show incredible. They have a great chemistry and very distinct personalities that it's so hard to choose a favorite among the four. I would probably say my favorite is Alexis. She's the daughter. She's pretty funny. It's up in the air, though. David is also great. They have such a good chemistry. The only thing is that the rest of the town, while it has its charm, doesn't really have the same chemistry as those four characters. But it's enough for a good watch. It's something to watch if you're not trying to see something too heavy and you just want a good laugh, or maybe to just watch and do homework too. I'm already starting on season 3. There are 6 seasons in total and on Netflix. Let me know if you guys have seen the show, and let me know if I should stop watching at some point because, you know, sometimes the show falls off, or will it only get better from here? I'm excited to hear what you guys have to say about Schitt's Creek. So let me know. Now, I wanted to end the show with a couple of recommendations like I usually do. This one is going to be a little bit different, though, because this is actually the first film I'm reviewing. Now, my good friend Haley has been telling me to watch this show forever. She's a diehard fan of this film. And so I finally had a reason to watch it. She sent me the director's cut of this film, and I watched it in full. And I got to say, it was incredible. It's called Donnie Darko, and it's a film from 2001. I'm not going to be spoiling this film because there is a possibility that Haley said that she would like to come on the show eventually and maybe talk a little bit more in-depth about the film. So if that does happen, I would like to talk more in-depth about it there. But now I'm just going to pitch it to you to watch it on Amazon Prime. This film is about a young man who begins getting hallucinations about the end of the world. There is a sci-fi element to the film. It is mostly a psychological thriller, and it's pretty grounded. Besides that, you're going to want to watch it more than once, not just because it's that good of a film, but because, like a great film should, it has great foreshadowing. And if you rewatch it, you're going to notice things you didn't notice the first time. The main character is Jake Gyllenhaal, who I have to say is phenomenal in this film. It's probably my new favorite Jake Gyllenhaal performance, though I'm partial to Mysterio in Far From Home as a comic book nerd. But the film is really lifted to another level because of his character and his performance. There are some things that don't hold up in this film as far as visual effects go. And most of the side characters are okay to unmemorable. Jake Gyllenhaal actually has 2 buddies in the film who follow him around every now and then. And I can't tell you either of their names or what they look like at all in the film. There are a few performances that are pretty good as well, like Drew Barrymore and Patrick Swayze, who are both in the film, but none of them quite compare or keep up with Jake Gyllenhaal, as he is working on another level compared to them. So that does kind of put the film at a little bit of a disadvantage whenever he's not on screen. The movie leaves you with a lot of questions about faith, destiny, and the possible illusion of choice. It goes into some heavy stuff and ideas. So if you're not up for that, which I understand, especially nowadays, we're all going through some pretty heavy stuff, I'd understand if you wouldn't want to watch it right now. But I do recommend that when you're up for it, check out Donnie Darko. A couple of fun facts. Seth Rogen, Ashley Tisdale, and the older brother from iCarly are all in this film, and it really threw me off, especially Seth Rogen. He plays a bully, and I don't know if you've ever seen Seth Rogen in anything, but he's a hilarious presence and has a very particular voice, so whenever he's trying to bully someone, I just hear his iconic laugh, the like. So it threw me off when I saw him, but I still recommend the movie. Thank you again to Haley for recommending it to me. It was a delightful movie. Not delightful, but a good movie. But please check out Donnie Darko again on Amazon Prime through IMDb TV. It's there with ads, but I think it'll be worth it for you. The second thing I wanted to recommend today was actually a comic book. I started thinking, since I was going to talk just briefly, but still, about Ready Player 2, I thought I would recommend a comic book that I enjoyed from several years ago. It is a sequel to arguably one of the greatest storylines in Marvel history, and it is called Civil War 2. It is a sequel to the original Civil War that centered around Captain America and Iron Man's fight about security versus freedom. Now, this fight is between Iron Man again, but this time with Carol Danvers' Captain Marvel. In this storyline, it has the Guardians of the Galaxy, the X-Men, the Inhumans, Vision, Mighty Thor, Venom, Kate Bishop, Doctor Strange, She-Hulk, both the Captain Americas at the time, Miles Morales, and Spider-Man, and many, many more, all arguing over what to do with this new Inhuman who can see the future. It's written by Brian Michael Bendis, who also wrote House of M and the recent Age of Ultron. This fight centers around the question, should we take Ulysses' visions as fact and therefore try to change the future, or should we not try to mess with the future? Tony Stark believes we shouldn't act on Ulysses' visions because they only show a possible future. Carol Danvers believes otherwise, and everyone else is forced to choose a side. Now, there are a number of shocking moments in this comic book, equal to that of the original. And unlike the original comic, Iron Man is actually a good person in this one. There are casualties, major stakes, a lot of interesting ideas come up, and although it's not as good as the original comic, I thought I would bring it up because I don't think as many people have seen or read this one compared to the original. It has great artwork, big fights, big panels, huge splash panels of people fighting. It's everything you want in a Marvel event, and makes you think about who is the real hero in this one, much like the original did. If you haven't read the original, check that one out as well. I would love to hear what you guys have to think about these two stories. They're probably my favorites in Marvel history. As much as I loved Captain America Civil War, Civil War, the comic book, is a much, much bigger event than the movie makes it out to be. And just as it hurts the soul just as much. So check those both out. Let me know who you side with, Captain America or Tony Stark. And then let me know who you side with, Tony Stark or Captain Marvel. I'm personally Team Captain America in the comic book, Team Iron Man in the film. Let me know if that's what you guys have to say as well. That's pretty much all I had to say today and all I had to recommend. Let me know what you guys think. Are you excited about Doctor Strange? Have you read the Civil War 2 comic book? Are you excited for Furiosa? Have you seen Schitt's Creek? Let me know. Do you even like Lumalnati's? I want to hear your opinions. Thank you so much for listening again. Thank you to everyone who has seen all three episodes. If you haven't seen the other two, check those guys out. We'll be doing this weekly every Wednesday from now on. It just fits my schedule pretty well. So please listen every Wednesday. Check us out on Facebook and Instagram. That's pretty much it, guys. You know, stay safe, wear a mask, do what you love. I'm signing out. Y'all have a good one, all right?